Hey, hey, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek. Today is Monday. It's December the 21st. Hope you're doing well. Thanks so much for stopping by, hanging out with me as we approach the end of the Advent season. That's really hard to believe, isn't it? The last couple of days of Advent. I remember when I was talking about, well, pretty soon it'll be Advent, and it was like 2 months away. I remember just, you know, floating it out there. Well, we're kind of getting toward the end of the church year, and believe it or not, we're going to be starting the new church year, but it's still a couple of months away. Well, here we are. We are about to celebrate Christmas. We're winding down last couple of days of Advent, and I wanted to share something with you today that really hit me. And if you read my email reflection, my daily email reflection, I talked about it. It's sort of turning the tables a little bit. Leave it to Gary to turn the tables on you at the end of Advent. But it's something that hit me at Mass today, and I thought it would really be good to talk about. You know, it's this idea that Advent's about waiting, right? We're waiting for Jesus, right? For the most part, and we've talked about this before, this could be a challenging concept because we're waiting for an event that technically took place 2,000 years ago or might not happen for thousands of years in the future. And I'm talking about the birth of Christ and then his second coming. I mean, that's your two focuses, or what's the real word? Foci, I guess, of Advent, or two focal points. The birth of our Lord, then his second coming, the two comings. But there's a third coming that is an immediate coming of Christ more deeply into our lives. And that's really, I've always found to be the more effective focus for Advent because there's a sense of immediacy there. Yeah, he might come again in glory tomorrow. I don't know for sure. But we have this tendency to believe it's been thousands of years, so we don't expect them anytime soon. Therefore, we kind of coast a little bit, even if it's unintentional. But if you focus on this immediate coming of Jesus, he will come closer to me if I make the effort to get closer to him. Then I'm going to really take advantage of every day of Advent and do my best. And that's really been our focus. But today, and this is the thought I got at Mass, and it was based on something from the first reading from the book of the prophet Zephaniah, I got this idea that's going to flip the tables a little bit and switch our perspective. And essentially it's this, that instead of waiting for Jesus, maybe let's focus on the fact that he's already here, which he is. Again, that makes it difficult. How am I supposed to wait for him when he's here? He's with me. He's with you wherever you are. And he's fully present in the Eucharist when you receive him in Holy Communion. But what about if we look at things differently and not so much look at me waiting for him to come to me, but look at him waiting for me to come to him? And there, right, pretty interesting perspective. And again, I got this thought at Mass, and I like to say I think it's a good one. But that's because I believe it comes from the Holy Spirit. Look, anything really good that I say or intelligent, I give the credit to the Holy Spirit for. But it's really a true statement. And when I read this first reading, and we'll read it today on the show, essentially, Jesus is waiting for me to come to him. So if I do what I'm supposed to be doing during Advent, making that effort, making time for him, and trying to break away from the things that keep me apart from him, again, not with the idea like he's going to show up when I get my act together, but rather I give him more room to work, even though he's already here, when I make room for him inside of me. So by spending time with him, by turning away from selfish activities, not necessarily even sinful, but things that really are just me being selfish and not bearing fruit externally, you know, by turning away from those things, maybe watching a little less TV or something and spending more time helping somebody else out or reading scripture or in prayer or receiving the sacraments. By doing that, I give Jesus a greater opportunity. I give him more room to work in my life. So he is becoming greater in me. So I am experiencing an increased presence of Christ, but it's not necessarily because I'm waiting for him to come to me, but it's because I'm making room for him inside and I'm coming to him. So you see, he still grows in us, and by Christmas Day, his presence will be greater in us, just like he was in Mary as he grew every bit each day. But it's not really because I'm waiting for him. He's waiting for me. But he still grows in me each day. And if I look at where he is in my, how much of him is evident in my life now, and I look at how much is evident on Christmas Day, if I do the work each day, it should be greater. And his presence should be more evident in my life on Christmas Day. Now, again, this is not something you could probably measure because it happens so gradually. But honestly, if you put the time into it, if you put the work, if you do the work and you spend the time trying to get closer to the Lord, trying to let him grow in you, then what's going to happen? What's going to happen is you are going to be closer to him. Again, all you have to do is put in the work, and it's going to happen. How much? Leave that up to the Holy Spirit. So as we wind down the Advent season, maybe let's talk about that a little today, how we can make the most of the remaining few days and really, really put in that effort. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about on the show today. I hope you're relaxed. I hope you're comfortable. Hope you got a nice beverage and a snack. You know, let me share something with you today. This is kind of interesting because it's driving me crazy. We're going to pray, but we're talking food right now. So we were in the supermarket today, and one of the things that they have is they have these tomato pies. Now I love pizza. I've always loved pizza, but I like a good tomato pie, which is just the crust and the tomato sauce on top of it. And so they sell these tomato pies from a local bakery, and you just bring them home, you heat them up. Well, I got this thing sitting on my table here where I'm doing the show, and I'm getting the most delicious smell of tomato sauce and garlic or something. I don't know what's going on there. It is driving me crazy. If it wasn't for the fact that we're having this for dinner tonight, I'd be eating this while I'm on the air. Also, next to the pie, because this is where I do my show from, I'm going to let you in on a little inside secret. I do my show from the dining room table. And believe it or not, my setup, I have my microphone and my recording equipment. I do the show from the dining room table. So next to the pizza, Eileen made a chocolate cake last night. So I got this chocolate cake, a pizza. This is killing me. And I'm hungry. So this is not a good combination. So I hope you appreciate this. I tell you to bring a beverage and a snack. Man, I got a great assortment here, and I'm not allowed to touch any of it because I do love my family, and it's going to be their dinner too. Plus, eating and doing this show doesn't work out for me, but it works out for you. So you feel free to do whatever you need to do. You didn't need to know that, but it's a little inside information. Hey, how about if we pray? What do you think? Let's get down to serious business here. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for being with us today. It's really nice to know that you're with us right now. Almighty God, creator of the universe, you're with us. And Father, you show us in little ways, in ways that sometimes appear insignificant. You show us just how much you love us, and you remind us of your presence. Thank you for these little things that you do for us. And we pray, Father, that we can become more aware of your constant presence in our life. Father, we come to you today, and we first of all, we thank you for giving us this new day. We praise you. We acknowledge your greatness, your power. We acknowledge you as the supreme being, the creator of the universe. And when we do that, we get a little bit more confidence in your ability to handle our problems and provide for our needs. We also acknowledge your love for us, Father, the love that was definitely made known in sending the Savior, Jesus, to earth and allowing him to suffer for our sake so that we could one day live with you in heaven. I mean, it's pretty hard to say you don't love us when you did that. We're grateful, Father. We thank you for that. And we ask you to handle all of our problems today. We trust you. We surrender our lives to you, Father. We pray for the grace to more willingly surrender to you, just as Jesus did, especially when it's difficult, especially when it requires some trust. So we pray that we can trust you more and surrender more areas of our lives to you in these remaining few days of Advent. We pray, Father, for a special outpouring of your Holy Spirit on this brand new day at the start of a new week. I ask you to give me the words for this show. Give me the message that I'm supposed to deliver. And Father, I ask that you open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to the message that you have for us. Heavenly Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm telling you, it's killing me. This pizza, or this tomato pie, whatever you want to call it, this thing smells really good. And it's a good thing the cake is under a cake plate. And so I can't see it right now. But if I lifted that thing, I'd really be struggling with that as well. Hey, you know what? It's really good to be with you today. It's kind of a long day. Got a lot going on around here. We have a family member, not an immediate family member, but a relative who's really struggling right now. So if you would keep I don't want to mention too much just for the sake of their privacy, but if you would keep my relative in your prayers, I would really appreciate it. Somebody who's in the hospital right now, not COVID-related, but just struggling, dealing with some difficult stuff right now. So your prayers would be very much appreciated. Anyway, you are listening to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. If you want to find out more information about what I do, the work that I do, the books that I write, about my weekly podcast, The Gary Zimek Show, about my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, if you want to find out about any of these things, you can just go to my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. And one more thing, Friday is Christmas Day. We're not going to do a show on Friday, so just be aware that the other days, Christmas Eve, I'll be doing a show, but I will be taking this Friday off, obviously, for good reason, to celebrate the birth of the Lord. And as we wind down the last few days of Advent, let's really try to like squeeze the most out of them. Like trying to get juice out of an orange, you know, you're squeezing it out, and then it gets tougher. When I take a shower in the morning, we have a bath mat on the shower, and when I'm done, I've got to wring it out. You know, it's a rubber bath mat, but it tends to collect water, and I have to wring it out and try to get every last bit of water out of it before I hang it up at the end. And it's hard. Like, at the end, you're really squeezing. I think that's what we should do with Advent. You know, this is, we talked about this. This is a unique season. I've never seen an Advent like this, never seen a Christmas like this. But as I was discussing on Relevant Radio last week, different doesn't necessarily have to mean bad. Different is different. Different provides us a unique set of opportunities. A lot of the distractions, the external distractions, they're gone this year. So now we can really focus on Jesus. And I'm glad you're doing it with me. I'm glad we're able to do this in the last few days of the Advent season. Don't give up. Don't give up. You're going to grow closer to him as long as you keep doing the work. And the work's not that hard. The work is just a conscious decision. I'm going to spend time with Jesus every day. I'm going to read the mass readings. I'm going to read a little bit of my Bible. I'm going to read a book about the saints. I'm going to read some other inspirational book dealing with God. I'm going to spend time with him in prayer. I'm going to make it a point to go to an extra daily mass during the week or something. You know, I'm going to get back to confession this year. All of these ways, these are conscious choices, decisions that we make of growing closer to Jesus, of making time for him. That's what it. That's all it involves. You know, you don't have to worry about him showing up and getting more involved in your life. You have to worry about yourself not giving him the time to do that, not opening the door when he's knocking. Because that's what he does. He knocks on our door. He does it in different ways than we may be used to. Sometimes his knock is a lot more subtle than we would expect. But he, nonetheless, he knocks. And a lot of times, and I've talked about this before, I've written about it, I've seen in my case, he does it through our anxieties. So through my fear, when I'm really afraid, that's when he's really knocking and saying, "Hey, Gar, I want to help you. You know, today I had some health insurance stuff that I had to, because I am self-employed, because I'm in ministry, I have to get my own health insurance. And boy, that can be a hassle sometimes. I've always worked for people. You know, for 30 years I was working as a software developer, and I always had somebody taking care of the health insurance for me. It would just come out of my paycheck. Well, now I got to do it myself. And every year it seems like there's some problem with it, and this year was no exception. And right about at lunchtime today, everything started to get a little confusing and fall apart, and my health insurance provider said, "You're not going to get renewed next year." And it's like, no, what was this all about? I already paid. And we got it all worked out. I had to make a few phone calls, get a few people talking, but I felt the fear. I felt the stress. And, you know, I try to be honest with you all the time and let you know that I am an anxious person by nature. I get this. If you're somebody that struggles with anxiety, I get it. I know how to catastrophize with the best of them. You know, I can really anticipate all kinds of problems and bad outcomes. I can. But what I have learned to do is to turn to the Lord when I'm struggling. You know, sometimes I have to fight that tendency to just start worrying, because that's what many of us are used to. We get a problem, we get something that's overwhelming, and instead of getting on our knees and saying, "Jesus, please help me with this. Please send your Holy Spirit to give me some wisdom. Please let this work out." Instead of doing that, what do? We worry. But I've learned to pause. No matter how bad, I want to just feel like, you know, just start imploding a little bit, which I felt happening. And I did that today. I said, "Lord, you got to help me with this. Please help me with this." And I felt better initially. And it all worked out. But that's important to do that. And so if you put the effort in, make the effort to involve Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit in your daily life, you're going to bear the fruit. You're going to feel that peace that comes from that relationship. And things won't always work out the way you want, but they'll work out the way they're supposed to work out. And I think that's important. You know, I'm not going to lie to you and say that everything is going to work out according to your plans. But oftentimes, when you bring the Lord in, things work out not the way you wanted, but yet you get more peace out of it. Crazy, isn't it? That's what happens when you get this supernatural peace that the Lord gives. So anyway, as we close out the Advent season, let's look at this first reading. There were a couple of choices today for the first reading. I'm going to use the second one. This is the one that was read at the Mass that I went to. It's a reading from the book of the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 3. It begins in verse 14. And I'll tell you what I singled out, what really hit me today. "Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed the judgment against you, and he has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear. On that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, 'Fear not, O Zion, be not discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. He will sing joyfully because of you, as one sings at festivals.'" You know, and this is, we see again throughout the Advent season, these readings, especially the Old Testament ones, they look forward to the coming of the Messiah. Like, he's coming. One day We're going to not be sad anymore because the Messiah will arrive. And the church chooses these readings to get us in the mindset of waiting with anticipation, with expectation, because it's not like, well, I hope Jesus shows up. No, he's showing up. Let's get excited and let's make sure we're ready for him. That's how we go through Advent. But the line, the verse that really touched me was, "The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear." So God is here. Jesus is here. He's with us. We don't have a reason to fear. Why? Because he's with us. And remember, we've talked about this. Every time that God, throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, every time God in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament would say, "Do not be afraid," he would always add on, "Because I am with you." Not "do not be afraid because you'll never have a problem for the rest of your life." Not "do not be afraid because these problems will go away." "Be not afraid because I'm with you." And that's this message. Don't be afraid because the Lord is in our midst. So I thought this is perfect for the Advent season because, you know, you can get into the way of thinking that, well, he's coming. He's not here yet, but he's going to be here soon. No, he is here right now. But we need to make an effort to find him a little bit more each day as we head to Christmas. And the way we do that is we spend the time with him. We invite him into our lives. So are you faced with a problem today? What are you struggling with today? There's got to be something. Some worry that you have, some area of your life, could be financial, could be emotional, could be spiritual, could be physical. You could be suffering from a really serious ailment, a chronic illness, a frightening medical condition, whatever it is. Here's my challenge to you today. Invite Jesus to get involved in that, whatever that problem is. You know, that thing that's causing you to be afraid. Today's the day to invite him in. "Lord Jesus, please help me with this. I'm afraid." Talk to him honestly. Talk to him openly. And keep doing that for the rest of the Advent season. Get used to doing that. And the more you do that, the more it's going to become a habit. And habits are good things. Or they can be good things. They don't have to be. But we know enough about bad habits. We hear a lot of things about bad habits. But, you know, practicing virtue really is a matter of incorporating a positive habit into your life. So if you get used to turning to Jesus with your problems, and of course that doesn't get you off the hook from doing anything. He still wants you to do what you can. But we typically do that anyway, and that's why we worry. You know, once we do what we can to try to fix our problems and they don't go away, well, that's when oftentimes we lapse into worry mode because we're trying to control what we can't control. And that's why we worry. If we can control things, we generally do that. You know what I mean? So he wants you to do what you can to fix your problems. But when you reach that point where you've done all you can and the problem's still there, make sure you're turning to him and asking him for help. And you'll get that help in many different ways. Sometimes it'll be just a greater sense of peace. But that's good. You know, does it really matter for the problem if the problem doesn't go away, if you're completely at peace dealing with it? I know that's not the way we think. We think like we got to get rid of the problem or we'll never relax. But I know the feeling of a problem continuing to exist, and yet I'm completely at peace to the point where I can watch TV and enjoy a TV show or enjoy music or enjoy a good meal or something, enjoy some good pizza and chocolate cake, you know, and that all comes about because of the supernatural peace of Jesus Christ. So as we wind down the Advent season, how about if we recognize, you know, like I do when I start the prayer at the beginning of the show and I say, "Father, I know you're with me." That's because I really know he's with me. I feel him. Although I shouldn't say that because I don't always feel him. I know he's here. I know my wife's in the other room. I know my daughters are in one of the rooms as well, in the house. Can't feel them, can't see them, but I know they're there. It's the same thing it is with the Lord. Jesus is with you today. Make some kind of an effort, 5-10 minutes, to put aside some time and just say, Lord Jesus, I know you're with me. I invite you into my life. Handle this problem, whatever this problem is, for me. And keep doing that. And by the time Christmas rolls around, it's only a few days, I know, but you'll be more inclined to do that going forward. And that's, again, that's the start of a habit, of a good habit. That habit of getting Jesus involved in your problems so that you don't worry about them, but that you pray about them. And that's where we want to get. That would be a huge accomplishment if we could all get a little better at that during Advent 2020, right? This unique, special, bizarre Advent and Christmas that we have never seen before. What if it could be our best ever? It is possible. Hey, anyway, I'm going to be praying for you. Please, please, please pray for me as well. I would really appreciate it. It's great to be with you, God willing. I look forward to being back with you here tomorrow on Following the Truth. If you need me, you can shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. If you're able to donate to my ministry, again, I told you before, but I would really appreciate if you could do that or make it become a monthly sponsor. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com, and it would really help me. It would enable me to keep moving forward with this show, with my weekly show, with the daily email reflection, none of which I charge for, but you know, somehow I have to try to find a way to support my family through all this in this difficult season when speaking is not possible for the time being. But I thank you if you're able to do that. And I thank you for your prayers and for your support and for just showing up to sit at the table with me. And thank you for not eating my tomato pie and my chocolate cake. I'll let you know if I remember how it all worked out. Hey, have a fantastic night. Thanks again. God bless you. I'm praying for you. Remember, the Lord's with you. You don't have to be afraid. Talk to you next time.